Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsession
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, and welcome to the Dork Forest. I'm Jackie Cation, your host. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com. If you enjoy a determiner, FamilyPetAncestry.com will take you to JackieCation.com. It is January of 2016, so I'm asking people again if they want, if you enjoy the show, donate to the show. There's a donation button on DorkForest.com. There's a donation button on JackieCation.com. I'd love to get $100 a year from everybody. $10 a month, 10 months. That'd be awesome. If you can't do it, don't worry about it. There's other ways to support the show. You could talk it up. You can order merch from JackieCation.com. There's CDs, DVDs, and T-shirts, all American-made, all union-made. So they run big because they're made by Americans. And other than that, you can use the Amazon banner if you order from Amazon US through JackieCation.com. It's on the right-hand side. You just click through to Amazon, and I get a kickback. So it doesn't cost you any extra. I just get a percentage. So it's kind of awesome. On JackieCation.com, there's plenty of videos to watch me do stand-up comedy, see what kind of comedy I do if you have never seen me do stand-up. And there's also my schedule if you want to come and see me live in your town. This week, I will be in Tacoma, Washington at the Tacoma Comedy Club, one of my new favorite clubs around the world. Other than that, there are premium episodes on the Bandcamp. Those are live episodes of the Dork Forest. I have two more live episodes that are scheduled, one in San Francisco and one here in Los Angeles. And those are coming up. And this is a very special The Dork Forest, by the way. This is The Dork Forest, The Next Generation. So TDF, TNG, you guys. This is a friend of mine's daughter who is a huge dork and an awesome kid. And we're going to talk some fan fiction, so let's get into it. Did I do the credits? I don't think I did the credits before we get into it. Mike Rickbert composed and sang that song, The Dork Forest. He'll sing his words to the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio, and Vilmos fixes the website. All right, let's get into it. Enjoy. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm back in my living room. It's the first or second episode of The Dork Forest of 2016, and I'm here with the very first The Dork Forest, The Next Generation. So we're going to go. I'm just going to call you by your fanfic name because you're under 18, and it's Fishy Dwarrows, mm-hmm. D-W-A-R-R-O-W-S.
Yes.
And it's on archiveofourown.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So talk to me about any dorkdom. Who cares?
Oh, well.
Here's the thing, is you like almost all the same things I like.
Yes.
But you have dived into them head first.
Oh, yes.
What's the first one?
Lord of the Rings. That is my foremost fandom, I would say. Right now, I've written a couple of fanfics.
Oh, good. Oh, there we go. So,
which are?
So, I mean, the thing is I like about fanfiction is that you write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to write. It's like reading. Whatever you're reading,
mm-hmm.
that's fine. You know how to read. So I'm a big fan of whatever you're reading. So you have read The Hobbit.
I have read The Hobbit, and I've also seen and own all of the extended editions and normal editions of The Hobbit trilogy.
Right. And did you listen to the director's commentary?
I have listened to all of the director's commentary of Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. Sadly, there's no cast commentary on The Hobbit, which is...
Is there cast commentary on The Lord of the Rings?
There is, and it's very amusing.
All right, because they're having the time of their lives, or what? What makes it... So, did you read them first and then watch the movies, or watch the movies and then read them?
Actually, I saw Lord of the Rings first. My dad forced me to watch it, and
sure.
I didn't like it at first. And then The Hobbit movies came out, and we went and saw them, and I thought they were okay.
Right.
And then Battle of the Five Armies came out. And in the process of watching it, I kind of got attached to a certain pairing. And then that kind of...
A fan fiction pairing?
Yes.
Okay.
A ship, yes.
Which ship?
Bagginshield, which is Thorin Oakenshield and Bilbo Baggins.
All right. There you go.
And
Bagginshield. I love the ship names.
Uh-huh.
It's it means they're a friendship or a relationship,
mm-hmm.
right? And sometimes it is sexual and sometimes
yes.
it is not, right?
Yes. You can write it any different way. And there's a whole bunch of other ones, too. You can have like a orgy and it'll be fine.
Right. Because it's...
it's fiction.
Yeah, it's fiction, and it's fan fiction, so it's fine. So you can write any story about any bunch of people. So you were excited about Thorin Oakenshield mm-hmm. and Bilbo Baggins.
Yes.
So did that make you read the books?
Yes, actually. We finished watching it, and I went back and saw it 4 more times, and then I thought, I'm...
Sure, that's 12 hours.
Yeah. And I had never actually read or written fan fiction for, like, any other fandom before. Like, I've read, like, one other, and it's, like, Harry Potter.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But that was it. And so that's really how reading fan fiction actually got started for me, because I delved into that, and I had never really done it before, so I looked and I just picked the first one that was on the list, and okay. it was really well written, and it was 80 chapters.
Wow.
And that was a benefit. And so that kind of ruined my standards. So now every time I read something, I kind of hold it to that one.
Oh, right. Cause you've read well written fan fiction, and now you're like, mm-hmm. oh, this is bad sentence structure.
Yes.
I can't actually read this.
Yes.
This is hard.
Sometimes, unlike a book, when you have to like maybe get in like 6 chapters to see if it's bad or not.
Right.
You sometimes, if you read the first sentence of a fan fiction, you just know it's not going to be good.
It's like, not going to go there.
The summary could be like really, really interesting. And then you read it and you just feel really disappointed and sad.
True. I have tried to read some fan fiction because mm-hmm. and it was mostly Harry Potter fan fiction mm-hmm. when I started it, because it's Harry Potter and you want more things to happen with the people in Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And little did I know that J.K. Rowling is willing. She's willing to have more things happen with Harry Potter. She's like, go for it. I don't care. I'll even write some. And it's almost like she's writing her own fan fiction at this time.
Uh-huh.
So I'm kind of psyched about it. So when did you read the actual Tolkien books?
I read them in 7th grade, which was
a couple of years ago, right?
A couple of years ago now. And I read The Silmarillion in 8th grade. It took me 3 months because I had to keep reading it during lunchtime and when I wasn't done with homework in class.
Right.
And so, Silmarillion has very, I'd say, very heightened language. And so even though it's not that long, because I have a small version of the book, it has such complicated language
yeah.
that it takes a while to read everything.
Yeah. Do you have an abridged version?
I don't. I just own the actual Silmarillion.
But it's small? What do you mean it's small?
They sell different copies of it. And so mine was like the fine print without any pictures or anything, kind of paperback book.
Oh, yeah. That's the one I have.
Yeah.
It's okay. So, yeah. So, yeah, it took me, I think I read it in college, and it took me at least 3 weeks to read it, and I had a full caseload of other, but I was also doing a class.
Mm-hmm.
So he would go through it with us, which was blessed. You were reading it not for class or anything?
No, just for myself.
Okay, so this is, so in 8th grade or 9th grade, you were reading The Silmarillion. Mm-hmm. Had you read The Lord of the Rings?
I read The Hobbit first, like, my dad had read The Hobbit to us before the movies came out, and I didn't listen to him at all. And he was like, oh no, Thorin Oakenshield died. And I was like, oh no, that's okay.
Okay.
And then I reread it. And I'm
spoiler
like,
spoiler alert, guys.
And then I reread it, and I was like, oh no, Thorin Oakenshield died. And then I read Lord of the Rings, after I had watched the movie, and I recognized the differences that they had made for the plot. And I fell in love with a side character that dies in 2 chapters.
Which side character did you fall in love with?
Hama. He's a man from Rohan.
Yeah.
And he.
Yeah, he's one
my
of the,
favorite
he's one
side
of the soldiers.
Yes, he is. He's
you
the
fell
captain
in love with
of
Hama?
The guard. He's the captain of the guard.
Go for it.
For Theoden, and he squabbles with Aragorn over his
sword.
Is he
in the movie?
He is. He gets mauled by a warg in about 5 minutes, and it made me very upset once I realized that was him.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing. You had to realize that was him.
Mm-hmm.
Because even in the book, which I've read a dozen times, he's not in it a lot.
He's in like 3 chapters and he dies, but he's the one who
he's
essentially.
He's in like 3 paragraphs.
Yes, but he snaps out Theoden from his kind of Saruman stuff because.
Yeah,
because
he brings the sword and he's. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you're like, okay, I like this guy. He's a good hero.
And Éomer also reminds Théoden when they're talking to Saruman again at Orthanc that think of the deaths at Helm's Deep. Think of Hama, whose mound you put the
right,
dirt on first.
Right,
and
right.
That
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of
so
snaps him out of it.
Definitely referenced.
It's very dear to my heart.
Right. I liked Faramir.
I like Faramir.
Granted, I read the books way before the movies and the terrible casting and what they horribly did to him in the movies. Mm-hmm. So Faramir is the biggest hero next to Sam, as far as I'm concerned. But do you like any of the Hobbits?
I love all the Hobbits. I think it's... I love their the way they live, and I like how easygoing they are. But it's very interesting, especially when it's explored in like fan fictions and such. I would say prejudice that they actually have, because it's mentioned in the book. They're like, "Oh, Bag End is a queer place, and queer folk live there, and such." And
as opposed
like
to
that.
Bree.
Bree is a bit more open minded, but there's also like thieves and stuff. But they're just so it's like a small town. So everyone gossips.
It's super homogenous. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, it's more like Japan in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
1850s? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, but you in fan fiction, they do a lot of exploration of essentially how small town Bag End is.
There's a whole bunch of different things that fan fiction can do. Fanfic can take a throwaway line in a story and expand on just that scene. And they can also go into extreme depth due to someone's meta or something. And they can expand on what they want to see. And then in turn, sometimes it can be what other people want to see.
Right.
For example, a fan fiction, which I love, and I'm friends with the author. It's called Sansuk. And
spell Sansuk.
Sansukh.
Kh.
And it's by Deader Mamfid. It's on Archive of Rowan and fanfiction.net. And it's a canon compliant Lord of the Rings fanfiction. And it's
what does that mean?
So essentially, canon compliant means that it stays exactly to the plot of the story.
Okay, it's
of
trying
the original
to fit
source
into
material.
It's trying to fit into the source material, not spin off of it. Mm-hmm. Okay, got
and
it.
And so in it, the author writes from the perspective of Thorin Oakenshield right after he dies in Battle of the Five Armies. And it takes that timeline from right after Battle of the Five Armies all the way to it's almost finished now to the end and probably past Lord of the Rings. And so we essentially get to see all these dead dwarves be the peanut gallery of Lord of the Rings. And it's very
She makes them into a Greek chorus in the back. Like, they're sort of all the dead dwarves.
They're
are
all,
just,
like, watching.
They're watching different events of the...
And
that's a great premise.
It's really wonderful, and I love it. And I've drawn 83 pictures for it.
So it's... And it's episodic? It's chapters?
Yes, there are... It's novel length, and it has appendices.
Okay.
And there's a audiobook that is on chapter 3 right now.
Wow.
And
is
a
she
graphic novel. No. The audiobook is created by Ricky Pulsiver and Heuristic Device. They're on Tumblr too and Archive of Our Own. And there is a graphic novel actually made by me.
Okay.
And I'm not done with chapter 1 because it's a very long, very long fan
so
fiction.
You're working on the graphic novel of it?
Yes.
Okay.
And Sansuk also brings in a lot of diversity, so there's a lot of women and a lot of people of different sexualities and genders that you don't get to see in Lord of the Rings.
Sure. You wouldn't get to see any, it turns out. Because Tolkien, it turns out, was just a white guy with his pick in his hand. Not too much. Anyway, so...
And so we get, for example, there's a character who is a transgender elf.
Okay.
And there are lots of... They're like they're dwarves of color.
Okay.
And... there are very also likable villains. There's
like orcs and stuff that are.
There's this really. There's the daughter of Bolg who fights Dane in the Battle of Dale, which is only mentioned in the calendar of Lord of the Rings. And
right,
so she expands on that.
Right, she's like, we're gonna go with it because it's now in canon, so she can do whatever she wants. Quite honestly,
and it's very interesting to see that perspective, and it's a huge ensemble character cast, and she gives love to every single character, so nobody's left behind, and that's what really makes it so wonderful. And she's been working on it for about 3 years now, and it's almost finished.
Wow. Does she do other stuff too? Like, is she writing other, I mean, that must take up all of her like free time.
Well,
like I have a couple of friends who write fan fiction, and they have jobs.
Yeah, she has a job, and
she's an adult.
Yes, she is.
Okay,
so she's got a job, and she's got a family too.
Oh,
and
good Lord! Okay, so she does as much as she can, and but to your knowledge, that's the one that she's concentrating
on. It's worth
now.
The wait too.
Oh yeah, because it can take a second.
It takes a while for the chapters to come out, but she gives us little. Maybe a section of a paragraph to as a preview, maybe a day or two before the actual chapter comes out, and that's
does
really
she
nice.
Have a schedule? Does she have a schedule? Is it like podcasting? No,
okay. No, there's no schedule.
Well, fair enough. Because I mean, the thing is it's such a labor of love. I mean, podcasting for me is a labor of love, but fan fiction, I think, even more so.
Definitely.
How many people are on the boards?
A lot. There are a lot of people, and really, fan fiction. We write for ourselves, but it depends on the reaction. So if you write like a nice comment, people will feel inspired to keep writing. But like, if you just like the story and move on, it doesn't really, like, we appreciate it, but it doesn't really resonate as much as people like say,
I mean,
writing.
They just like clicks, right? I mean, it's just a click saying, I like this versus an actual comment of, hey, I enjoyed this with a little bit of what you liked is the way to really do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to make you more part of the community too, because then you actually get to interact with the authors and you as an author get to interact with the fans, right?
Yes. And then you can also take,
is there
advice too?
Is there, sort of an etiquette?
I'd say maybe.
I mean, does it get trolly or?
No, usually people are really polite, but every once in a while there'll be like a hateful comment and they'll just point out perhaps spelling mistakes or
grammar.
Or sometimes people will politely point out canon mistakes, but if they're trying to stay with the canon, but some people will just be like, I don't like this pairing. Why did you write it with these people? And that's just unnecessary hate. And
How is that gonna, don't read it.
It doesn't help. Don't read it.
Turns out there's 13,000 other fan fiction things that you can read. And you're like, well, if you don't like it, there has to be another one out there that you could read that doesn't involve Hama and Thora no Kachil, in a hot, hot embrace. And,
there are some ships out there. I am part of a very, very stupid blog that and my friend created
that you thoroughly enjoy.
Yes, my
Fair
friend
enough.
Created the ship Thordolf, which is Thor and Oakenshield and Gandalf, and they're planning on maybe doing a live blog of it.
It's always interesting when the very tall date the very short.
Yes.
Anyway, I want that there to be something. I do a show called Competitive Erotic Fan Fiction.
Ooh.
And it's a live show with stand-up comics writing. You get to pick, right? You get to pick whatever thing you want to write about. But there's two different rounds, essentially. The first round has four people that have picked something and written something. And the second round are people that the audience suggests what they're writing about. And the guy who runs it, Brian Cook, it's a podcast as well on Nerdist. And, but he has a litany of things that you cannot suggest as an audience member. Mm-hmm. Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Pokemon. It's just like SpongeBob. Things have been covered. And he's like, pick something new and interesting. And, McDonaldland toys. How about that? And, so I always do the pre-written ones because, I think I've tried the bucket thing one time and it was horrible. I was not good at it and I did not have fun. So, one of my favorite ones I did a Magic the Gathering one where I picked two of the characters, like two of the walkers, and a black wizard and a blue wizard. And the black wizard was a lady and the blue wizard was a fella. Mm-hmm. And I forget forgetting the name. Someone's yelling at their iPod. Anyway, the black wizard, my favorite thing that I wrote was that the black wizard killed the blue wizard in sex play. And then she resurrected him because she's a necromancer and said, you forgot your safe word. Anyway, so, do you have favorite, so, like, have you come up with amazing plots that I'm super proud of this?
Well, I had one once, but I love time travel, alternate universe fanfics, and also when people expand on the universe or they, like, change it altogether for,
What's a, okay, yeah. So you like time travel.
Mm-hmm.
You like alternate universes.
I love them.
And you love when people change an existing universe entirely?
Yes.
What's that? Which one, what's an example of that? Like, what's the existing universe and what the hell did they do to it?
For example, my friend's fanfic, which is a series too, it's called Clarity of Vision, and she rewrote the entire Hobbit.
Okay.
And it's like novel form also, and there's a series, so there's also letters, and then there's also a rewrite of The Lord of the Rings and an appendices, and it's very long, and it's very wonderful, and all the text-
Super fiddly, that sounds awesome.
All the text emulates Tolkien's, like, speech, and everything, it's all canon compliant, though it's changed, and the prompt was, what if Erebor never fell? And- So that changes the entire quest.
Okay, remind people who Erebor is an
Erebor
old...
is the mountain elf. That the dwarves live in.
Oh, it is dwarves. It's been a long time, so tell me. Yeah, make me know.
Clarity of Vision is a rewrite of the Hobbit.
Erebor.
Erebor.
Yeah, tell
Erebor is a mountain.
Right, and
full
where?
Full of money, and Smaug was a dragon that lived in the mountain after he stole it from the dwarves. And in the Hobbit.
And in the original mm-hmm. story, it was not in the Silmarillion? Was it in the Silmarillion
no.
or was it in the appendices
Hobbit.
Of the Lord of the Rings?
It was in the Hobbit. It's the entire, that's the main story. Erebor.
No, the story of Erebor mm-hmm. is.
Oh, the
is,
story of Erebor?
Yeah. There you go.
There's some in the appendices. And they do mention a bit of the backstory in the actual Hobbit.
Right, right. Yeah. It's in passing, but it's mostly mm-hmm. the appendices of the yeah. Lord of the Rings, right? Okay, there we go. So Erebor is the mountain that Smaug the dragon lives in, mm-hmm. just so that people know, back when the dwarves had their own, it was one of the kingdoms of the dwarves, and it was yeah. the main one, and it's where a lot of mithril was being worked, but it was not where it was mined, because it was mined in?
Moria.
Thank you. And So she takes, if the dwarves had kept Erebor,
mm-hmm.
the fan fiction writer just sort of kept that dialogue going.
Yes.
Essentially, or that timeline going.
And so she takes the idea of gold sickness affecting the king of the dwarves, Thror, and it, since Erebor never fell, it affects like the personalities of some characters, and so that affects the quest. And so Bilbo actually goes on the quest a couple years earlier, and it's a completely different quest, and they go to the west instead of the east.
Oh, interesting.
And then it's a slash fix, so Bag and Shield happens and they fall in love.
Sure.
But so the second part of the series, which is the letters, it spans the time that it takes between the rewrite of The Hobbit and the rewrite of The Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
And since the quest for not Erebor takes place earlier, the Lord of the Rings rewrite takes place earlier too. And so it's about 20, maybe 30 years earlier.
Okay.
And so through the letters, you get to see how it affects the characters without actually having to read any of the, like, exposition. And then that made the segue for the Lord of the Rings rewrite, which had a much larger fellowship, larger cast, and it had they went farther places, and they went to the east, and they went actually to Nurn, which is the kind of country inside of Mordor. So Mordor has all those mountains, and if you look at a map, there's Nurn, and then there's like the Sea of Nurn, and so they talk about the people there, and they go even farther, like, into Harad, and they meet the two blue wizards that are only mentioned in passing in Silmarillion, the appendices, and in The Hobbit.
Okay.
And we get to see the culture of more people of color down there, and it's very expanded, and it's very interesting. Get to see the Entwives.
Oh, okay. You get to meet the Entwives?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And
I've always wanted to meet the Entwives.
So it's
And in
it's
fan
very
fiction,
cool.
you get to.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, do you think... All of the people that I know who write fan fiction are women.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a lot of men who write fan fiction, but I don't know a lot of... I don't know. I know a lot of men. I was about to say I don't know a lot of men. I know more men than women, probably. But I don't know a lot of men who write fan fiction. But it's interesting because I also think that there's a lot of sort of, like, people, of, you know, just black nerds, man, who are like, finally, fan fiction, I'm going to do this. Because you saw the new Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it was neat, mm-hmm. right? That there were just all different kinds of people. I swear to God, I saw like an Indian guy or a Pakistani dude.
I loved it.
In the fort, like a bad guy, like a crazy Nazi Pakistani dude on the, in the first rule or the first whatever.
First order.
Thank you. In the first order, cockpit of the planet. That guy was just standing there and he had, I think, one or two lines. And I was like, oh my God. And then you'd see like just women running by to go work ships.
I know.
And it was pretty awesome. Yeah. So it feels like yes. sort of an embracing of, mm-hmm. and fan fiction must be entirely like that, where you're like, yeah. I'm finally going to write. Cause when I was a kid, I played Star Wars and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. I had to create new characters anyway so that I could hang out with Luke and Han and, mm-hmm. and cause I didn't want to be Leia. I would be, I'm willing to hang out with Leia. She seemed very cool and mm-hmm. had her shit together.
Yeah.
But I didn't really want to be Leia cause she was stuck, you know, sort of in the command center the whole time. She didn't get to go out and get her hands dirty. And, mm-hmm. and like when I was a kid, I used to play Tarzan a lot. I don't know if you've ever seen the Johnny Weissmuller Tarzan movies, but they're pretty fun. Mm-hmm. And, him and Jane find a baby in the jungle. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? And, but it's a baby boy and they name that kid Boy. They're not very bright. And I always wrote I wrote fan fiction mm-hmm. as a kid, but I didn't write it. I should have written it. I understand in the 70s there was a way to write fan fiction where you would write it and then mail it to a place.
Oh.
And they would print it and then mail it back to you in a little magazine that everybody got. And I've heard about that and I've heard about like sort of, yeah, there was games that you could do via the mail and stuff. Mm. The internet is amazing. It turns out. It's instantaneous. But I always played essentially Boy and Tarzan was, they found a girl kid. Why not? And then I got a knife. Anyway, yeah. So it's cool that fan fiction is it can be transgendered and it can be black and it can be Puerto Rican and you can get some Mexicans involved and you can get some Chinese people and some Asians and some, thank God the Indonesians finally have a chance to be heroes.
Yeah.
Because they aren't in any movies ever. And I love Indonesia.
Yeah. Fan fiction is very inclusive. Also, fan art too. It depends on the people's interpretation of the character, but you can make Gandalf black. It doesn't matter. That's awesome.
Yeah, because it's a it turns out it's fiction. There's some sort of hoopla because the casting of the new Harry Potter.
Oh, Hermione is
black. And there seems to be some sort of issue where
she's
like
a beautiful actress. I'm excited.
I'm excited, and it's about magic.
It's the cursed
what
child.
Part? Right? How could you? What part don't you believe? That she's black or that there's magic?
She has frizzy hair and dark eyes. And
that's right. That's what J.K. Rowling was calm yourselves.
However,
yeah.
I'm excited.
But it's starting in London, right?
Yeah. West End. So I won't get to see it.
Right. Me neither. But, until it makes it, it might make it to Los Angeles. We mm-hmm. don't know. And, so what else? Is there Hamilton?
Like, oh my God, there is Hamilton fan fiction.
There's Hamilton fan fiction.
There is. Lin-Manuel Miranda has read some because once he found out, he went on AO3 and
I may need to go look at Hamilton fan fiction because I have gone down a rabbit hole of Revolutionary War history, real history.
Same.
Have you read the Sarah Vowell book?
I have not, but I'm reading the biography of Alexander Hamilton by Ron Chernow right now.
Which is the one that he based it on?
Yes.
The 700 page,
819 page.
Oh, there you go. I read an article that said it was 700 pages. So, so you're reading essentially that guy's. Have you read any stuff on Burr?
I like to read Lambs, which is John Laurens and Alexander Hamilton. But most people, when they write the Hamilton fan fiction, they use the characters from the musical.
Yeah.
And I've only read a couple that use the actual historical figures. And when they do write with the historical figures, they're very accurate. But usually the Hamilton fan fiction is all
actors.
They use like the actors. So most of the Hamilton fan fiction is college alternate universe stuff. So they'll have...
Oh, it's them going to Princeton and King's College.
Yes, essentially. Okay. And it'll be like modern day and...
That's awesome.
And Marquis de Lafayette will most likely, it seems to be accepted now that they'll be non-binary. And so that...
What do you mean by that?
So... it seems that like the fandom has accepted that the kind of modern alternate universe version of Marquis de Lafayette is non-binary, and it's just a thing that someone came up with, and everyone has just kind of accepted it because it's pretty cool.
What does it mean, though?
Non-binary means
what?
Non-binary means that you do not identify with the gender of male or female.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's an actual term mm-hmm. in life?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
So the Lafayette can be either male or female? Is that what I'm in the fanfic?
That's gender fluid, but Lafayette, they can be whatever they want to be.
Okay.
And it's whatever the person decides. And the common one that I've seen is that they're non-binary, and so they'll use they pronouns instead, and it'll just be non-specified. So they'll wear dresses, or they'll wear a suit, and it'll just be okay.
You know, in the Saraval history book of the Marquis de Lafayette, mm-hmm. which is a fascinating, it's a great book about the guy. First of all, I don't mean to blow your mind, but the Hamilton musical, not entirely historically accurate.
Yeah, I know.
They didn't really meet. I'm cool
with
it.
Not in order, yeah.
I'm cool with it.
Not at all at the same time, yeah.
Yeah, but my favorite thing was Saraval has this whole chapter about how the France getting involved in the Revolutionary War, and how there was a guy who was sent to London to He was sent to London to talk to a French spy who had defected to London, and it was a spy who dressed who had worked with both who had been in the Russian court as a woman and in the French court as a man. And this is a real person in 1757 and 60, you know, for 10 years was both a man and a woman in all the courts. And so the playwright that they sent to talk to him, because they were like, hey, we don't want you selling French secrets to the British, please. Could you come back to France and we won't put you in prison? And he said, the spy was like, well, I don't really want to. I mean, I don't want to go to prison. And and the representative from the French court said, here's the deal. You can come back and you will not be prosecuted if you promise to live out your life as a woman. And the spy was like, okay, I'll do that. And then I I've listened to the book twice on tape, is I can't remember whether they were born a man or a woman. I think the person was born a man, but it doesn't matter because they were like, well, I'm not using that part and I would like to wear a dress. So yeah. It didn't really matter to me. And, but it was a fascinating story. If you get a chance, make your dad buy it on Audible.
Definitely.
So, by the way, it's Fishing Dwarrows. Fishy, FISHYDWARROWS on archiveofourown.com. And if people go to archiveofourown.com and to yours, are there links from yours to stuff that you like?
Oh, well, yes, there's like
sort
there's
of a
favorited tag list.
Yeah, a favorited tag list,
yes,
on the side.
And it'll list how many fandoms you've written for, and I've written for one.
Well,
it's all The Hobbit.
It's all now. It's you have the rest of your life ahead of you. So the Hamilton stuff, is it I enjoy Hamilton a fair amount, as I think has been established, because two or three episodes ago was just entirely me and a guy named Pat Sussmilch just talking about how much we loved Hamilton, even though neither of us have seen Hamilton.
Hamilton is awesome. I've never seen it either. I love it. I've made a comic of it.
It's excellent. So, it was. So what's the the fandom? Are they doing the women?
Oh yes. Because
that's got to be...
There's...
Angelica, the sisters?
There's Eliza Skylar Hamilton and Mariah Reynolds fanfic.
Okay.
Yep.
Ah, that's a little brutal.
I'm sure there's others, but that's the only one that I've seen
right
so far.
Which I think the same actress plays Peggy.
Yes.
So it's her sister. Mm-hmm. That's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, then.
Yes. But the most popular one is John Lawrence and Alexander Hamilton, because it has been speculated that they perhaps had an actual relationship.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of stuff on that.
Okay.
And I've read some good ones. I've read one fanfic that was completely just letters, and it was...
Oh, that makes total sense.
Yes. And it emulated their voices so well. You could tell that this person had read their writings.
Okay.
It was very
written
sad.
Written in the style. Of course it was.
It's
oh, my gosh.
Sad at the end.
Aw.
I cried.
It's, I bet. I was listening to the second act.
Oh.
The first, and I'm driving and listening to it, and I'm like bawling in my car. I'm like, no, wait, his son? And the
Philip.
Thing is, poor Philip. And it was, have you been watching the Ham for Ham?
Yes.
Did you see the one with all the kids?
Yes.
That was a very cute one.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the...
I love the Skylar Georges.
Oh, the Skylar Georges were awesome. Yeah, that was Andy sent me that one.
It's my favorite.
All right, you guys go back to look up Ham for Ham, and then the Skylar. It's probably called the Skylar Georges.
Yes,
it's essentially three of the
men who play King George.
King George,
the alternates
acting, lip syncing the Skylar sister
song.
Wow. I talk for a living. And so excited. Cannot form sentences. Anyway, so what is there Mad Max? Because you also enjoy Mad Max, right? Fury Road?
I'm pretty sure there is Mad Max fan fiction. I've seen
a
lot
just
of fan
like,
art.
Or do you just like the movie? Because your dad sent me a list of things that you like.
Oh.
And I was like, well, why don't you ask her to write me a list of things that she likes?
Oh, he does that a lot.
Oh, he has an exec. He makes it... Dads will make an executive decision for you.
Yeah.
And I saw Mad Max a lot. We own it.
I loved it.
Do you guys have it yet?
I got it for Christmas.
Oh, good.
I feel accomplished.
It's pretty awesome. And
we were watching all the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Oh, cool.
So
yeah.
That was really awesome.
If you haven't seen Mad Max Fury Road, folks, get out there. I was talking to my friend Dan Telfer, and I said that I was trying to figure out which I liked better, was The Force Awakens or Mad Max.
It's hard.
Right. And Dan Telfer said something I thought was very important and very Dark Foresty. He said, why would you have to pick? Why can't you just like both of them? But I have to say, because my expectations were, I was more afraid for Star Wars.
Yeah.
And Mad Max, I genuinely had no expectations. So that's how much I loved. So I just loved that, and so it was fine.
Yes.
What? But you, I'm sure there's fan fiction for it. What other fan fiction are you reading? You're reading some Hamilton. You're reading some Lord of the Rings.
Well, and... the Harry Potter fanfic that I read. Yeah, it's called the Leia Kunz Children. The first one is called Stealing Harry, and it's the rewrite of. It's also another changing all of it, and it's what had happened if Sirius Black had not been imprisoned, and instead Lucius Malfoy did, and him finding out that Harry was being abused by his aunt and uncle, and so he essentially steals him away, and Harry Potter grows up with Sirius Black and Remus Lupin instead, and there's some ships and stuff.
Black. Oh, if Sirius Black didn't get sent to
Azkaban,
I got too many
characters.
Too many two-syllable weird IUS names have got me. Okay, so Sirius Black does not get sent to Azkaban.
Yes.
Remus and Sirius continue to be friends.
Yes.
And more so, no doubt, because of kiss. And then and they end up with a bookstore?
Yes, because they want to keep an eye on Harry, because they find out that he's been sent
that
he's been sent to live with them. So they're keeping an eye on him. And then one day, Sirius finds out what happens. And so he's like, we need to take this kid and just make his life better, because these people are treating him horribly.
Right.
And so it takes that, and then it expands on it through three books. There's three novel length books.
Wow.
And then
what's
it's just
novel
notes.
Length on fan fiction?
About 50,000 words.
Okay.
I'd say, because that's about the length of I'd say the Chamber of Secrets.
Okay.
And the length of the Lord of the Rings is like 175,000 something words. And so that's about how long an actual novel would be.
Right. As opposed to like the new novels, which are all way too long, quite honestly. I like a 220 page. If you're going to write a novel, chop, chop, get to it. Tell me the story. Get the hell out. I don't need Patrick Rothfuss. Day one, 400 pages. Day two, 400 pages. It's okay. It can be 220 pages. I'll still give you $8 for the book. I promise. And yeah. Did you read that? Any of the Name of the Wind business?
Oh, I have not read The Name of Wind yet. My friend recommended it to me, and I've been meaning to get to read that.
Well,
haven't had time.
I liked it. And then Andy Ashcraft, my beloved husband, told me that because he read it, and he was like, oh, he's just writing his first D&D character. And I was like, what do you mean? I don't know. I don't know. I've only been playing D&D for 10 years, not 30. And he goes, well, he's good at everything. He's like, he's the best bard. He's the best wizard. He's the best magic user. He's the best, he's everything. He's good with the ladies. He's good with, I mean, he's like, there isn't anything he isn't good at. And it's, he's the best ranger. He's the, you're like, and I'm like, oh, you're right. And he goes, no, I mean, you should still like it. And I was like, no, I'm so sorry to say you've ruined it now. And he goes, oh, shit, I feel horrible. And so I only read the first one, but I thoroughly enjoyed the first one because it was, you know, I love a coming of age story.
Mm-hmm.
I love a 12-year-old who he or she has to figure some shit out. Have you read any Ursula Le Guin? Not yet. Earthsea Trilogy? Does that sound familiar?
No.
You might like, because you read the Cage Baker books, right?
I did.
And that...
love them.
Those are good. What was your... So the Cage Baker books, we have talked about it before. Cage Baker was on the Dork Forest many years ago before she passed away. Very sad. Now, the Company series, of course, is the series that she finished before she died.
Yes.
And then she has a 3-book fantasy series, which is awesome. Or at least takes place in the same universe. And then she has a bunch of one-offs that set in the middle of the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a time travel show. And time travel show. Time travel story. You said you also liked time travel fanfic.
Yes.
Is there – what's the time travel fanfic that's
so,
out there?
The usual trope, like – for, again, The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, is a main character or a character goes back and tries to fix something, save someone who's died. There's also sort of the Groundhog's Day trope, which is someone relives this horrible event over and over again.
Okay.
Until it changes. So,
okay.
Though the Stars Walk Backward is a fan fiction written by two of my friends, and it's a collaborative effort, and it's about Bilbo reliving the battle, the day that he betrays Thorin and almost gets thrown off of the ramparts.
Right.
And then it's like, it has effect to do with the ring. And then Keely also starts reliving it. So there's Bag and Shield and there's another ship.
Okay.
And so it just keeps repeating and it's very, very angsty and gory and, but it's,
oh,
it's
right.
Wonderful.
Cause it's reliving the battle over and over again.
And,
so it, the
and
kid's
sometimes
bloody,
and everyone dies in different ways and it's kind of horrible.
Wow. Right. Cause you can rewrite that battle a thousand ways and okay.
Yes.
Well, Brian Upton, who has been on the program, had a great idea for a TV show where it would be a dramedy. It'd be an hour-long TV show, and it would be set on the Titanic.
Mm.
And every week, the Titanic would sink, and you would follow different people on the boat.
Oh, that's...
And so you would see, like, you would find out at the end of the episode if they lived or died.
Huh.
And you could center it around the band, which stayed till the end, right? So you know the band is always going to be there. And you could see people pass in the background every single week where you're like... Oh, that guy, that was 2 episodes ago. Oh, that guy died. Oh, that guy, oh, that lady lived. Oh, good for her. And you can, like, it'd be like a Groundhog Day kind of thing where you would see the same scenes over and over again, but you'd follow a different character from, and I quite honestly would watch that show.
I would watch that.
That would be a hilarious. Brian Upton, somehow talked to Hollywood. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but the idea that that they're reliving. So that would be the time travel. So they would try to stop Keeley from dying.
Uh-huh. Or stop Thorne from dying.
Or stop
all three of them.
I have a theory that when time travel is invented, because mm-hmm. I think we're very smart as a people, but we're also the dumbest. So what we're going to do is that's how we're going to extinct ourselves. Because if there was a time travel machine, mm-hmm. we will line up like lemmings. And say stuff like, I've always wanted to see real pirates dead off. And, you know, oh, what would dinosaurs really be like? What was Pompeii like right before the volcano left? And, you know, and then we would just die one at a time as we went back in time to kill Hitler or to stop slavery.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't work. There's another one. I had an episode with Balogun Ojitabe, who is a writer out of Atlanta, Georgia. And he writes steampunk. Ooh. And it is African American steampunk, and his most popular series is the Chronicles of Harriet Tubman, and it's essentially Harriet Tubman after the Civil War, and the Underground Railroad is an underground railroad, a steam run railroad under the earth, and John Wilkes Booth is still alive, so it's an alternate history. You might like it, Chronicles of Harriet Tubman, and because she's like a James Bondy spy now for the government.
Mm-hmm.
And John Wilkes Booth just hates her and tries to set her up. And so it's like that. So that is more Hobbit. Right. So what about alternate universes?
Oh, there are so many. The standard is like coffee shop. AU.
What?
Everyone work. It's like this character works at a coffee shop. This one goes in and then they flirt. And then the character B keeps coming into the coffee shop because they have been enticed by character A. And that's like the most.
That's a romance novel. What's happening?
It's the most rudimentary AU alternate universe.
Okay, so what they're doing is they're taking characters.
Yes, and they're putting
from
them
anywhere,
yeah.
And they're just putting them into the coffee shop.
Yes, you could take characters from like a high school novel and put them in the zombie apocalypse, or you take people from the zombie apocalypse and put them in Target.
Oh, okay.
So it's essentially seeing how they react in that environment and what it would be like. So there's a lot of modern stuff you could do.
Okay, so you can bring them
if
into
it's
the
fantasy,
present.
Yeah.
Yep.
If it's fantasy, a lot of people do modern AUs, so they have. So sometimes people will retell stories with modern stuff,
right?
And it's very interesting. And there's like reincarnation AUs. So this character from a fantasy novel will have reincarnated in the modern world and maybe not understand all the technology and stuff.
Oh, right.
And sometimes there'll be crossovers, and so I've seen people take like Hobbit characters and put them in Sherlock.
Oh, wow.
And so it'll be Bilbo is our, since Martin Freeman plays Watson in Sherlock, they'll have Bilbo be Bill Baggins, and Smaug will be Sherlock, and Thorne will be like.
That's awesome.
Yes, and Gandalf was like, in one of them I read, Gandalf made up a fake name and he was James Bond.
Okay. Right, because, well, and Ian McKellen has been in so many things that you could. Wow. Is anyone doing any sort of, like, taking the famous people from, like, if you took Alan Rickman from Die Hard or from Harry Potter and then just stuck him into, like, Macbeth. I wonder if there's any Shakespeare
there
kind
is
of,
Macbeth fanfiction.
I bet you there's Shakespeare fanfiction.
I've found Macbeth fanfic.
It's. Have you read any Shakespeare? I have not.
I have. I've read Macbeth. I've read Midsummer Night's Dream. I've read Romeo and Juliet, which I did not like. And I
didn't even like West Side Story. Yeah. So it turned out it's really sad at the end. They seem to be idiots. Anyway, so, but they're 14. So no offense. I know you're 15. So, but the, by the way, let me just tell people it's Fishy Duoros on archiveofourown.com.
Yep.
And, so I know I've done that alternate reality when I was a kid, and I used to play down in the basement. We had a furnace and I was in charge of cleaning the basement. So I would spend an hour down there, and the furnace was my time machine. Mm-hmm. And so I was Boy from Tarzan, and I remember taking the time machine and being on the bridge of Star Trek.
Oh.
And so there was a quite quit an alternate universe where I was like, oh, I get to go on the away team. That'll be great. I have my knife. And you have to remember I was 11. So, which, by the way, too old. Anyway, perfectly fine. And what I never realized is that my stepmother could hear, because I would just talk to myself and act out all of the scenes. She could hear everything through the vents in the house.
Oh.
When I was in college, she was like, you know, I could totally hear everything. I was like, God damn it. No. So whatever. So what are your favorites, that you would recommend for people?
Oh, well, you've
been rattled. Yeah.
Said two. San Suk by Dieter Mamfid.
Mm-hmm.
DETERMAMFIDD.
DETERMAM. M-A-M.
F-I-D-D.
F-I-D-D. Okay. Sansuk has an E on the end, right?
No.
No. It's just S-A-N-S-U-K? H.
Yes.
S-U-K-H.
There you go.
All right. So more of that. And then...
I would say the Clarity of Purpose series. The mm-hmm. first one is called Clarity of Vision. It's by Methan. M-I-T-H-E-N.
Okay.
And
this is mostly all...
This is all like
Lord of the Rings, Hobbit,
yeah.
Hobbit world, right? Mm-hmm. Tolkien world, yeah.
The Leia Kunz children, which is the Harry Potter
right.
fic, is spelled L-A-O-C-O-O-N, I think.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure about that
Fair enough. It's people can look it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then my phone rang. It's a classic. And some people hate it. Other people find it endearing.
And then... The Starless Road by Emily N. Rose.
Yep.
Which is how you spell the name Emily, E-N, the spell the word Rose, which is a Silmarillion fan fiction, and it's
What's
really
that
well
one about?
Written. It's about saving Mithros from the void and his own guilt. And it's
oh, wow.
pretty cool. There's giant spiders and dragons.
Of course. Why wouldn't there be?
Mm-hmm. And wow. An Expected Journey, which was the first back to the fanfic I ever read.
Okay.
And it's time travel, and it's by Marie Jacqueline, and it's 80 chapters. 80 chapters, which
80
is
chapters.
A benefit.
Wow.
And there's a sequel, which is on hiatus right now. And,
And this is all, fanfiction is mostly prose, right? It's not,
yes.
There's not usually graphics to go
well,
with it, or?
Sansuk. She puts in all of the fan art that people create.
Okay.
Except for the graphic novel, because that's a separate thing.
Right.
So she will include, like, every time she writes a new chapter, she'll update all of the art. So there'll be even more. So if you go back, if you read it the first time, and then you go back and read it, there'll be more art.
She'll
just
keep adding.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's really nice to see everyone's interpretations of the characters.
Oh, wow.
And that's what's really cool about it. Same thing with the Clarity of Purpose series. Methan will add art sometimes.
Okay.
And it's really cool.
That's cool. But when the person, like Sansuk doesn't do the drawings.
No.
So
other people do.
Do it and add to it.
Yeah.
And it's a sign that the community really likes it, too,
mm-hmm.
which is if
like
someone's willing to draw something.
Yeah, there's like a mini fandom inside the Hobbit fandom that's all Sansuk. And there's a whole huge tag on Tumblr. There's like two.
Are there fan fiction cons?
I wouldn't say. No.
I haven't seen mm-hmm. such a thing.
But there are people will make like... special events for fanfiction. For example, the Hobbit Big Bang 3.0 just started again.
Okay.
Which is, this is the third time it's doing it, and it'll be, people will draw art, and they'll get beta readers, so they'll sign up, and you get to read and proofread people's stuff.
Okay.
And what you'll do is, people will draw art, and then you'll have to write something off of the art, or you'll get a prompt, and you'll have to write something off of the prompt.
Well, that's kind of fun.
And so... we just had another one of those, and so there's like 92 new fanfics on AO3 because of that. And it's really nice, and there's also, in the Hobbit fandom, we do Secret Santas, and so we just had that too. There's a lot of new art and a lot of new fanfics, because you'll get a thing and it'll describe what
so
you want.
You'll email people fanfic for a Secret Santa?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's, or you'll dedicate it on the website.
To
you can like you can write it as a gift to
okay.
that person.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And you can post like audiobooks on AO3 too.
Mm-hmm.
That's, for example,
well, that's interesting.
I wrote a horror story, and my friend recorded it
Harry
for my
Potter?
Birthday.
No, Hobbit.
Hobbit, yes.
Hobbit, horror. Okay.
Killed all of the characters. And she recorded it for my birthday
and
gifted it to me, and it was really sweet.
That is really sweet. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of this fan fiction community. I'm glad that it's supportive and interesting. Everybody, it's been we're going to call it an hour, you guys. Everybody, go to Fishy Dwaros, check out the tag list on the right. Mm-hmm. On archiveofourowns.com.
There's some works there, too.
Yeah, you can read some works, and super fun. And this has been The Dork Forest, The Next Generation. You know the rules. Take care of each other out there. Okay, bye.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Thank you. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?